Hey, what's up? I'm Gio.
I'm Bart.
And welcome to Get Close.
And I wanted to ask you.
Me?
Yes. What was something or anything that you did that you never thought you could?
Lead people.
Really?
Yeah. I never thought I could lead people. Not that I never wanted to. And then I think when I was put in a position where I needed to lead, I didn't know how to.
How come you never wanted to?
Because that requires being the center of attention. And I don't want to be the center of attention.
Really? So like growing up, like let's say class projects or like in a sports team or any extracurricular activities, you never go, oh, I want to do it. I want to be the leader.
Never the leader.
Really?
Yeah, I never want to be the leader. And sometimes it happens that way because I'm already quickly going like, okay, cool. Okay, what else do I have to do? And I'm already kind of like talking that way that people are like, now what? And I'm like, what the fuck are you looking at me for?
Because I feel like a lot of kids actually like you because they want to do what they want, right? So they're like, I want to be the leader. Okay, we're going to play arcades. And someone's like, no, I want to go do this first.
Mm-mm.
So someone said, I want to do arcades. You go, okay, let's go play arcades.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I just, as a kid, I probably was like more that way. But I didn't see it as a leader. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. But the older I got, I'm like, don't pay attention to me. Leave me alone. Lee, don't look in my direction.
Because doing what you want to do is like the first start of being a leader. Like you're the one with the vision. You just need more people to execute it. But you're also trying to figure out if everyone else has the same vision too.
Yeah, maybe I had low self-esteem too, where I'm like, don't listen to my vision. It's whatever. Like, it's stupid. Like, it's whatever.
Damn.
Well, and I mean, yeah, I just don't want any type of attention. And I don't want people giving me their 2 cents when I don't even respect it. You know what I mean? Like, if I think something's rad and I don't think you're rad and now you're talking about my rad shit, I'm like, who the fuck are you? Like, you're not even rad. You know? So I'm like, don't even meddle in my shit.
So people that aren't rad, they tell you stuff, it just bounces off you?
Yeah, because they're not rad.
Oh.
Yeah, but if someone rad were to say, I'd be like, oh, teach me. But the amount of times that I ran into people that are super rad is super rare. So, I mean, yeah, I just don't want to be the center of attention ever.
That's true. And then how did you, and now you feel comfortable leading and you're like, oh, I could do this all day?
Yeah, pretty much.
How did it take you to do that?
Up until now.
No, like I'm still learning. How did it take you? Like, what was the process? How did you progress into this?
So I didn't work many jobs, okay? So, like, I guess the first time you could say I started actually working, I wasn't getting paid for it, but my mom worked at a school. So, like, after school, she would still stay doing work, like stapling, Xeroxing, organizing a bunch of shit for her students or whatever. So I would help with that, right? So if she needed to Xerox some shit, I would do it. So, like, early on, I already understood, like, tasks and jobs and all that shit and responsibilities. So I would do all of that. Then my first official job wasn't until I was 18. So I didn't really get a lot of experience with like high level management. And that first job, it was working at a bookstore, like a mom and pop bookstore. So it wasn't even like the school bookstore. It was like a mom and pop bookstore. Literally, I was the only employee. Maybe it was like two or three. There was like an opener and a closer and maybe like someone afloat or some shit. And then after that, I worked at the bank. So not super corporate. And I had like assistant manager, but it wasn't anything that like that one is the absolute opposite of the small business, right? Because it's super Fortune 500, big corporate. So I didn't really get to see like organic management. It felt like everything was super scripted. Like they needed to follow this protocol. They needed to use these key phrases because you're selling. Like it just felt so, again, scripted and vague. And then I come into JK, and that's my third official job, if you will. And now it's like we're leading the charge, right? Because whatever we were doing back in the day didn't exist. You didn't have any experience with owning your own company. I didn't either, or like starting a company. So I didn't know anything. So at that point, that's when I learned that like we all wear different hats, and like you need marketing and finance and producing, or like you just need all these different roles. And at that point we were all like wearing 7 different hats. And then it got to the point where we grew a little bit, and then I was training people. So that's kind of my first stint or my first state taste.
In producing?
Yes, in producing specifically. But I didn't see it as like leading, right? But to a certain extent, you kind of are leading. You're
just kind of like passing on the skill set.
Yes, but in a certain extent, you kind of are leading because they're answering to you, right? Yeah. I didn't feel I was really good at that. I mean, I don't really know. I didn't really get feedback on that. So I'm like, all right, whatever. Now we start our own thing and it's literally you and I. Like we literally have to lead.
Yeah, everyone looks to us for answers.
Yeah, because we're creating it. So yeah. We are the answer key.
Yeah.
So then at this point, I'm leaning on you heavily because one, I don't like to lead. I don't want to be the leader. Two, you already have your experience because you've had JK, you've been leading. I'm not the leader in that thing. So I was leaning on you heavy for that. So like, I just felt like I'm just kind of supporting this other half of the vision that is Barbell.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And then the more we started splitting up the roles because the company started growing, the more I was forced to kind of just move into areas that, you know, we noticed we were just naturally stronger at, right? So you're naturally stronger creatively. You're naturally stronger.
Liftingly.
Yeah, sure. Liftingly. And I'm just naturally stronger at like people management, like HR shit, like operations, and all of that stuff. So it just didn't make sense at that point in business. And I'm talking about now, this is like maybe even a 10-year stint of like all these different ups and downs and roller coasters and different like type of like job placements and just different hats that I've been wearing, different situations, wins, losses, failures, success stories, you know, that I've been just gathering a bunch of data. And we're now to the point where Barbell's doing pretty good. We start splitting up our roles just to be more effective and efficient. We have a really solid team now. I have like this newfound like self-confidence with my own ability and my skills, and I'm like learning a lot and working on myself a lot, that like I just started noticing how well I can connect with people and motivate people and like really see what people's strengths are and like place them in really cool, like place them in situations where they're going to thrive, or in positions I should say where they're going to thrive. And that just felt good. Like it just felt natural. And I didn't even realize that I was really leading, but I was, right? Because they're coming to me for answers. They're coming to me for vision. They're coming to me for everything. But it was, it like, those are like the highlights of it. But then the not so highlights are like, you know, when like I have to let someone go or I have to hire people, like that's, these are not necessarily the hiring, but like the letting go people is rough, you know, because it's like, no one wants to be let go.
Yeah, and it's so confrontational.
It is. It's very confrontational. And I don't really necessarily have problems with confrontation. I'm okay with that. And by confrontation, I don't mean like fighting confrontation. It's just
having very face to face.
Yeah, having a hard conversation with people. That's hard.
And you gotta like about to let them know the next chapter of their life is not good.
Yeah, or just that we're moving in different directions. Like, yeah,
it's not good.
Fine. Not necessarily. It could be. Yeah. And then so like in leading a team, like you have to know what you're talking about. You have to instill confidence in them that you're going to take care of them, that you're steering the ship in the right direction, you know, that you're like seeing their strengths, highlighting their strengths, looking at their coaching opportunities and coaching them with that, because it's not fair to like be all disgruntled as a leader and not like give your team feedback, because your team's there because they want to see the team win, you know?
Yeah.
So like it was a lot of unfucking and like mind and paradigm shifting that I needed to do.
Was there a moment when you're doing all of this that you're like, holy shit, I didn't think I could do any of this before? And you like impressed yourself.
This year, last year. Last year was that for me, because I had taken a two years off, right? When I had Taika. When I came back, I just felt like the business wasn't in a place that was satisfactory to me. And I felt like my team wasn't thriving as much as I knew that they could. And then at that point, I was like, fuck, you're busy doing your position. You know, the rest of the guys are busy manning their position. If I see this, I mean, there's an empty space here. Like I need to fill it, You know, it didn't matter if I was going to like it or not. Like, I knew I didn't want to do it, but I knew it had to get done, right? So then kind of looking at what we needed in terms of business and then going, all right, well, I guess I just have to be the person that does it. When I started getting it done, that I was just like, oh, holy fuck, I did all that shit by myself. Like, I cut costs. I brought in key players, got rid of not key players. I changed a bunch of like the business models for us. Like I was able to help you succeed in your area. My other teammates helped succeed in that area. And like, I had done it all by myself. Like, I told you guys, this is my plan. This is what I'm going to do. And then like, I'm actually getting it done. And I'm like, holy fuck. Did I just do that? Like, it was really surprising.
Did you feel like really proud of yourself when that happened?
Absolutely. It was a huge achievement because remember, I was leaning on you in the beginning because I'm like, you're the expert in this. I'm just learning as we go, you know? And I think a part of me was also using that as a crutch because I was scared.
Yeah.
You know, because it forces me to get out of my comfort zone. And if we get caught up in the comfort zone, we don't want to leave it, you know? But yeah, I think subconsciously I was just telling myself like, oh, he knows what he's doing. Like, I got to trust Bart. Like, we're just going to do that, you know?
Yeah.
But I would see things and I'm like, that's not how I would do it. That's not how I would do that. That's how I would do that, you know? And it wouldn't be fair of me as an equal owner to just be like, Bart, what's going on? You know, it should be like, oh, okay, you know what? I see that there are these areas. Are you cool if I go and like, this is what my plan is, you know? And we talk about it. And obviously you agree to all these things too. And yeah. If there were things that you didn't agree with that I was thinking about doing, then of course we have a conversation. And that's really rad that we can even have a partnership like that. But yeah, looking back at it, I'm like, fuck, this is tight. You know, like it was very uncomfortable. It was very uncomfortable. And in the beginning, I felt like I was over explaining myself. And then I just had to turn a lot of these insecure voices off in my head and just be like, what is the fucking goal? What are you trying to do? How do we get there? And just kind of repeat that.
Have you ever shared this with your
mom? What?
This whole like renaissance.
No. What, how, really? Why would I share it?
Well, I feel like... you know, our parents are there kind of like to witness the majority of our maturation. And so it's almost as if they see you as an organism, right? And then when you yourself become a different organism, I feel like it's such a cool thing to share. And then to like share with your mom, like, hey, you know, like this whole time, like we were both thought we were, I was a caterpillar, but I'm a butterfly.
That's cutie.
And to share that win with her. Because she might be like really proud, you know?
Yeah, I think she's really proud already. And it's been one of those things that I don't really
know the internal like metamorphosis that needed to happen. True. To become what you see on the outside, you know?
Yeah, I also never put it together like this, right? Because I don't ask myself like, Gio, what is something that you didn't think you were going to do that you are accomplishing that you accomplished?
Really?
Yeah, it's not something that I've ever like put together in my brain to be like, fuck, that's fucking sick, I'm proud of that, you know? Like, I am proud of those moments, but I see them as the moments,
just as that singular
yeah
moment.
I didn't see it as like this, like
this essay you're gonna put together to share with your mom or something.
Yeah. I see. So like as like situations would arise, like if like I don't know, we're going through like some like legal issue or some shit, you know, normally I'm like, can the big dogs take care of this, right? But it's like, well, who's the big dogs? It's fucking you, you dumb bitch.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh shit, that's me. I'm the boss here, you know? And yeah. I have to like talk with a lawyer and go back and forth and document shit. And now I'm like talking to our fucking finance person. And I'm talking to like, it's just, so as like these little things would pop up and I'm stressed about it or whatever, like I would talk to her about it. And then I would talk to her about like how I concluded it or how it was resolved.
What does she say? Did she go, wow, you guys go through a lot? Or deal with a lot?
I'm sure it's something along those lines. But it's more so where she's like, I know she's proud, or she's like, man, you're a badass, you know? But yeah, I've never really put it together like that.
I think you should.
I don't even know I don't even know why I would want to bring that up.
Just to share with it. I don't know. I feel like outside of me, the next closest person is your mom. And it's always cool to like update your mom on who you are as a person.
Maybe if it comes up organically, I don't think it's going to be one of those like, let's sit down and have a conversation about me.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Like, I can't wait to update my mom about things that have happened.
I update her about things that have happened, but the way it's packaged right now where I'm like, I'm really proud of that or whatever. Like, I don't think that way. So it's not something that I'm presenting to her like wrapped like that,
you know,
but like as I'm going through my feats and my failures with her, as I'm going through it, I'm updating her as I go. Like, oh, this week, or like, did I tell you this happened or this and that? And like, this is how, you know, this is where we're at with it now. Like, she's in the know with all of that stuff.
I see.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. And then, I know she's really proud of me, you know, and I know she sees that I have become a butterfly long time ago. Yeah. But this, like, if you were to ask Gio of like 2008 that she turned into what I am now, she'd be like, no fucking way. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I was the complete opposite. I always wanted to be the leader.
Okay.
Like, even starting with Kung Fu, like the minute I was like, oh shit, I think there's a potential for me to be like the youngest black belt in class, I wanted to do that. And then like the way that you do forms is the highest ranking person gets to be the front, kind of like the best dancer stands in the front, right? And everyone, and when you take a class, I always wanted to be the front one. And then in Boy Scouts, I couldn't wait till like I got a leadership position and get like patrol leader. Like every single, like when
we're so different.
Yeah, like when I was like in like a
I'm like, just leave me in my corner, like in a feed me group, occasionally.
I wanted to always like finish the first. Like everything, I always wanted to be either the best or the first all the time.
Damn, I'm just like anything that will draw attention in my direction. You know what I think it might be? I think it might stem from my childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I didn't want to draw attention upon myself because I was going to get fucking slammed on by my brother and sister, you know? So it's like they're ragging on each other and I'm like, I don't want to get in that. So I'm just going to like, I want nothing to do with that.
I don't know where mine came from then. But yeah, I always just wanted to be the best or the first at everything. And then if I wasn't, I'll find the thing that I was really good at. So like I wanted to be the best at handball. I wanted to be the best at tetherball. And I was at my school. And then I played basketball. I sucked at it. So I went back to handball and tetherball. Yeah. I just always wanted to be like the best. And then I would probably say like as soon as I feel like I got some sort of like high achievement, then I would just back off 100%. So there's times where like I literally get like an A the first test that we have in that class. And then bam, just go straight to an F after.
Why?
I don't know. I feel like, okay, cool. I got this. There's no point. And then I just wouldn't like keep up with it. Not knowing later on that consistency is what produces overall success, yeah. Not this giant spike in the beginning.
Yeah.
But that's how I felt for the longest time. Even though I joined the military, I was like, I want to be either guide or squad leader, which are like the two like main highest positions when you can graduate with. Like all of that.
Yeah, no. Opposite. I'm like, wow. Give me none of that. I want none of it. Even if I was the best, which I never was.
Yeah.
Because I just wanted to be average. I just wanted to be in the middle. I'm like, I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I don't want to cause any waves. Just leave me alone.
Yeah. And then even with JK, like, I didn't really care much for being the first, like the most subscribed YouTube channel. It was more about being the realest and the edgiest, you know? So that was like the thing that mattered. So like, I never really tried to like get up there in the beginning, especially with like Nikahiga, Kev Jumba, Tim, whatever. Like I wasn't trying to be in that race. I just wanted to feel like we were being like the rawest, like the most in living color, the most Chappelle.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when I would watch everyone's content, I'm like, oh cool, ours is pretty raw and edgy. Like that made me feel happy. Like there was something we're striving for.
Damn.
Maybe because there was like stakes or something, you know? And then like gave things a little bit more soul for me.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's so interesting because I'm just like, I want none of that.
And it was CUNY to see kind of Taika have that a little bit. You know, he just recently competed in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And so for him, like, he was like, wait. Like, he's just keeping track of colors, you know? He's like, wait, that kid has gold. I got silver. Next time I come, I'm going to get gold.
So he knew gold was above silver?
He knows.
How? He just knew.
He's just like, oh, you get gold when you, like, and then it goes gold, silver, bronze. Like, he knows.
What?
Yeah. But he's like, oh, how did that kid get that one? And I was like, oh, he won all of them. I was like, oh, I gotta come back. I gotta win all of them.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was like that. I mean, that could just be competitive, but. Yeah, no.
I mean, you are competitive.
Yeah, but I don't care to be number one.
Because one of our first dates, we played air hockey like 7 rounds because you didn't want me to beat you.
Yeah, but I'm doing it because it's fun, not because I need to be number one. You know what I mean? Like that banter, that back and forth is fun.
I see.
But not because I'm like gonna lose sleep that I'm not number one. Like, I'm not the best here.
Would I lose sleep?
I mean, obviously not, because it's such a...
I would. Not... I'll lose sleep figuratively. Like, it will bug me. It'll be like... I'll feel like I didn't reach my potential. Or I didn't apply myself 100%.
Yeah, no, I don't care.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm just like, this was fun, wasn't it? That's it. And I'm like, once I let go of that fucking... What is it? The paddle thingy?
Yeah.
I'm not thinking about it anymore.
I mean, the air hockey, yeah, I don't care about. But I'm talking about, like, if I wasn't patrol leader... Or if I didn't get guide or squad leader.
Yeah, no, I don't give a fuck.
Like, any of those things, I'd be like, man, I know I could have done it.
No, I don't care.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't need to accept. So for me, I'm just looking at is like, who are you? Because you're trying to do it for yourself, yeah. Because that's the thing. Got it. I don't care.
Like, obviously, I joined a team, right? And like, let's say everyone's like fucking 4-minute mile. I'm not going to lose sleep over it if I don't get first place. But if I'm competitive and I'm like, I know I can... If I try my best and that my best equals first place, I'm going to try my best.
Damn.
And if not, I'm going to feel very down on myself.
Damn. No. Can't relate, man.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever cared to be number one in anything. Is that bad?
I mean, you're still competitive. I don't think it's bad, but it's just so interesting that like you didn't care to be number one.
Mm-mm. I still don't. I still don't care to be number one at all.
Yeah.
I think I care more about being able to deeply connect with people.
Yeah. Now I don't care about anything like that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Now I care about being well-rounded and like kind of fulfilling all the buckets that really maintain
me. Yeah. Exactly. Same.
Because that's like a lot of the conversations that we have, you know, right? I tell you, like, I feel like I can be a very good stand-up comedian, but it'd be one of those things where it takes all of my energy to do it.
Yeah.
To tour, to get myself out there. But the art form of writing, I feel like I'm pretty decent at it. But I don't care to like get a Netflix special and be like a top comedian, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas I think if I channeled my earlier self, I would. I'd be like, oh shit.
What's earlier self? 20s?
Early 20s, late teens. I think I would have been like, oh shit, I think I have a talent in this. Like, I'm getting this faster than my peers. I need to push myself hard here.
I see. Cause I'm like, then how did someone with your personality end up like failing everything? But it's because, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I
yeah.
think it's because you it's already because, got it and you're yeah, like, I'm over it.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah. That's what even got me into probably in the beginning with, right? Before Barbell Brigade, I was literally looking up like, what are the state records? And then at one point I was a top 50 deadlifter in the nation, you know? And I was like, oh shit, I could be the top 165 guy deadlifting in California.
And was that because of you looked at the records and you're like, I can do this? Yeah, or was yeah. it because yeah, of yeah, the, yeah. oh, I yeah, don't know. I thought it was because you missed like competitive.
Exactly. Same thing. I mean, what are you competing against? Do you know?
A competitive sport. I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you competing against? Like, what's the purpose of training?
Exactly. So yeah. I was just like, I miss competition. So how competitive am I? I'm very competitive. I'm going to compete, you know?
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
We're so different. Yeah. I don't, anything that requires people knowing too much about me, I don't like it.
And I like it when the carrot is dangled just enough in front of me. You know what I mean? Like, let's say my deadlift is 500 at the time. The state record is 520. Perfect. Because that pushes me so hard.
Yeah.
You know? To
Of to, course, to you're right there.
Exactly, to maximize who I am. So if I'm 500, the record's 510, I don't know if I would really care.
Yeah, I don't think I care enough.
Like, you don't care if you apply yourself? Because obviously you have, and you have your own means to do so, which is why you're now a completely different person that you never thought you could be. So you definitely had to apply yourself to change who you are.
I don't think I see it as like applying myself to reach a full potential. I just see versions of myself or things that I want to achieve. And then I just strive for that. But I don't need to be number one and I don't obsess about it.
Oh, I see.
I just chip away at it, you know? But I don't stop chipping away at it.
You want to know what mine is that I never thought I could do?
Of course.
Guess.
That you never thought you could do. Have a successful relationship.
No.
Okay.
I knew that was going to always be the case.
Okay. Be an actor.
No.
Be a musician.
No.
Am I even close?
No.
Okay. Hold on. Don't tell me. Be a good dad.
No. I knew I was going to be a good dad.
Oh, okay. You said I would never guess?
I never said that. I just told you to guess.
Oh, okay. What realm is it in?
It's hard to say.
Okay, then fuck it. I'm not going to guess it. There's no way I'm going
to
guess it.
I never thought that I would be able to go against my parents.
What? Yeah. What? Someone like you, who your life is literally going against your parents. Like every decision you've made has been against your parents. What are you talking
yes,
about?
Yes, but truly, no. Big no.
What do you mean?
So.
You didn't finish your doctorate degree. You didn't graduate with honors. You didn't marry an Asian girl. You did like you did nothing like what they wanted you to do.
And at the same time, I was still in their control.
How?
So the way that I see it, it's either you go the track of your parents or you go the true track of yourself. In the true track of yourself, you make decisions, you accept full consequences, and you learn 100%. And from there, it's more of a squiggly line. You know what I mean? Because you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. And so it's unpredictable, and that's what's beautiful about it. When you go the track of your parents, usually they pick that track because they've seen thousands and thousands of people go on that track and they succeed.
Yeah.
So to them, it's out of fear.
Or succeed.
Yeah, it's means. Out of fear and they think it's safe. So they want you to do it. So it's already been laid down 20 times before you.
Yeah.
So for me, I know that track is go to school, get good grades, go to college, become a doctor. So as much as on the outside, it looks like I strayed from the track, I kept bouncing back. Like that was my North Star. So every single time I got, like I'd say I got kicked out of my first school in first grade, when I went to my second school, okay, cool, I could do this. I'm going to try really, really hard. I'm going to be a good student. Got kicked out in third grade. Okay, new school. I'm going to try really, really hard. And I'd always try to apply myself, you know, junior high and then high school. Like it would always bounce back because I'm bouncing back to what they want.
Got it.
So it always felt like
you were failing what they wanted you to do.
Yeah, yeah. Like it just felt like I was such a bad kid for I don't know why. And I'm a bad kid in their eyes, but I got to keep being this thing that I don't think I am, but is what they want. So even getting into UCLA is doing what they want, you know?
Right.
And even my job in the Marine Corps is doing what they want. Like, why would you want to be a job where you're stuck in the field all the time? Go find like a more office-based job. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So, So it's so Asian, you know, to like do exactly what it's so generational that way, like where you do exactly what your parents want and then you become the doctor and then they finally go, okay, cool. You're not a failure. Uh-huh. And then now you get married and all that. And I never, ever thought either I had the cojones or anything in a million years that I was able to do that, to go like, you know what? I don't want to do this. I want to try. Like, and even my actual negotiation with my parents was like, give me a year. Give me a year to try something. The fact that I even had to negotiate to like, can I have permission to choose my life was a huge thing, you know? Like, isn't that crazy for someone to ask for permission to make their own decisions in their own life?
How old are you at this point? Like in your 20s, right?
Yeah.
That's not crazy when we're speaking traditionally.
I think it's crazy.
It's not crazy.
I think it's like a Asian fucking...
that's how I was raised too.
I think that's like an Asian paradigm of some sort, you know? Where if you look at like white people, they generally don't do that.
Yeah, by 18, you're an adult.
Yeah, it's like, hey, mom, I want to go play soccer and whatever.
But I hear that a lot with minorities though. Like your 20s are really... Like how many people reach out to us where they're like, I'm not pursuing my passion because I'm doing what my parents want me to do.
Yeah. Exactly. So because of that, like your brother became an electrician because your dad wanted him to, right? So that's why I thought I never could. I never could go against what my parents wanted.
That's so interesting to me. So the reason why my mind is blown is because you literally, so I understand that you would fuck up and it's kind of out of your control or it's because of the overreaching control that you would stray, but then you, like you said, you would just bounce right back to what they wanted you to do. But you already have it in you to defy it. Do you know what I mean?
I'm not defying it.
But you are when that's you're sneaking out of the house.
But that's the
when
thing.
When you're joining a gang.
It looks like I'm defying, but I'm just being me.
Right. That's defiance.
No.
It is. Because your parents want you to be this person. So by you not being that person and being yourself, it's defiance
to
them.
You're not defiant. I'm being. There's a difference between your parents wanting you to be a monkey and then you go, I'm not going to monkey it up and climb this tree like the way you want me.
I'm saying you're defying your parents.
There's a difference between your parents wanting you to be a monkey and climb this tree and you going, I'm not going to monkey it up. I'm going to jump in the water. That's defiant. What I am is my mom wants me to be a monkey and climb this tree, but I'm like, I'm a fish.
But that's still defiant.
I'm not defiant because I'm a fish. I'm being me. So when I go in the water and I join the gang or whatever and people go, holy shit, this guy could breathe underwater. I'm like, no shit. I'm a fish. Like, it's your bad for not seeing who I am. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, my I'm not defying. I'm not choosing to disagree. I just can't. It's like pushing a monkey out of a plane and go, fly, fly. And he's like, I can't. I'm like, oh my God, this monkey's so defiant. You're going to die. Like, that's how it feels.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
I think so. I think.
Like, defiant is when you can and you don't.
Yes. Yes. I do get you. When I do get you.
When I can't.
Yes. You just, it's, it,
that's
you can't.
Not me. Yeah.
It's like they're telling you to run, but you're like, I don't have legs.
Exactly.
Or I only have one leg, or my legs are tied together. How do I do that?
Yeah. Like, if I, and then that's why as the fish, I would keep crawling out of the water to try to be a monkey. I want to be a good monkey and climb this tree for you.
That's so sad.
But I would get up there and I don't have the monkey arm, so I fall right back in. I fall right back on the floor and then I'm like, fuck, I'm a fucking fish again. So every single school got kicked out. I'm like, fuck, I'm a fucking fish. I keep breathing and I keep thriving in the water.
So sad.
So.
I know you're all fucking whoosh, 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 wee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wee.
And what the hell are you doing over there? Get back on this tree. Like all my other friends who have other monkeys that all climb the tree.
Yeah, yeah,
really
yeah.
good. You know?
Yeah, that is pretty dope.
So it wasn't even until like I was like my mid-20s when I was like, you know what? Can I just be a fish for a year? You know, not even like put my foot down, but like, can I try being a fish for a year? And if it doesn't work, I'll go back to being a monkey. Like that's why I think it was so crazy for me to ask for permission to live my own life. And I never, ever thought I could go against my parents. But it was the best decision I ever made.
So that moment for you is when you went against what your parents wanted to ask for that year?
Yeah, it took a lot of mustering. Like, how do I even pitch it? How do I pitch it in a way that has highest probability of approval? Like, I had to do so much. I had to get into UCLA and graduate first before I can even do what I wanted to do.
You know? So this whole time, you knew you were going to have this conversation.
I didn't know.
Okay. So when did it hit you that you're like, I need to have this conversation?
When I fell in love with JK. Because I didn't even know. Right? I did it.
You were already doing JK. And then you guys took a hiatus.
Well, even when I was doing JK, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
That was just for fun, right? That's like taking pictures on your phone.
So you don't fall in love with it yet. It's just a hobby.
It's just something. It's not even a hobby. It's just something I was doing that was fun.
I see.
I didn't even know it was a hobby. That's how new it was.
Oh, I see.
You know, it's like right now we're talking about the difference between someone that likes to take photos on their phone and then a photographer, right? I'm talking about taking photos on my phone. I don't even know something called photography exists. Mm. I'm just doing fun. I'm just recording. I'm hitting the red button. Start and record and stop. That's it. I didn't even know I was making content. I didn't know I was uploading. I don't know any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so I fall in love with it. And that was the first time where like maybe I dived into the ocean and I was like, whoa. There's a lot of other fish here. Like, whoa. And then I'm like, oh, wait. There's a difference between me living in the ocean and being on this tree that my mom or my dad keeps wanting me to climb. And then I was like, I kind of really want to be in this ocean.
This CUNY.
Yeah. And then so it took a long time. So from 23 to maybe like 25 is when it took me like 2 years to figure out how do I like pitch it, how do I muster up the courage to go to my parents and be like, hey, I need to do this for myself.
What did you think the reaction was going to be, or what did you think that battle was going to be that it took you so long to, or it took you mustering up courage?
Well, I already know that 23 years they told me to be a good monkey and climb the tree.
And so by you not climbing the tree, then they're like, oh, you're bad.
Because I got my ass beat for not climbing the tree. I got whipped for not climbing the tree.
Now you're older. They can't whip your ass anymore.
Well, they can. They're like, okay, cool. Then you're not part of our monkey clan. Mm. You know, like I don't want to get disowned. And everybody else is a monkey. My mom's friends are all monkeys. They're all these Asians that all have kids that go to like UCs. They all like climb the tree that they're supposed to climb. My uncle's a monkey. He became a dentist. Like everyone's a monk. It's like a monkey place, you know?
Yeah. And it's monkey town for sure.
So I don't want to be like, well, fuck, I don't want to not be a monkey. You know, everyone I know is a fucking monkey. Like, I guess I have to be a monkey no matter what.
Yeah. And it's just another mindset you didn't even know.
Yeah. So I know that if I even explored this fish thing, I created a giant gap between me and all the other monkeys who are all my family and friends.
That's so interesting to me because, and maybe because we've been together for so long and now we've grown up as fucking fishes in this ocean, that maybe I did forget what it was like in the beginning for us and for me. And like, I think early on I knew that, but I guess my ass wasn't beat and it wasn't instilled and drilled in me the way it was for you. But for me, I didn't know other things existed. Because I hadn't seen that. Whatever I saw before me, the path that I was supposed to follow was already followed by my mom, my dad, my older sister, and my brother. So that's the only path I know, but I just knew that path wasn't for me.
So same thing. I knew that there's all this path, and it felt like a path full of friction.
Yeah.
I didn't know there's any other avenues at all. Even JK, I didn't know that wasn't an avenue. Until we started getting AdSense, and then there was a Yahoo report that came out that Nita Hugo, Kev Jumbo, all those guys were making six figures off their YouTube. When I was like, "Oh, this can be a job," that was my first thing, and I remember exactly in my apartment when I saw that article come out on Yahoo, and me and Joe talked about it because it was such a crazy moment that was like someone like my whole life I'm a fish. I don't know I'm a fish. I just know I'm a very bad monkey. Then this was the first time a zoologist comes out and goes, hey, did you know you're a fish? And I'm like, what? Like that.
Yeah. No, the point I was making was, so I knew that this path, I didn't know any other ones existed. I knew this path wasn't my path. But I just needed to follow it because it was safe. So that, but I was always kind of, I kept my eyes and ears open, I guess, to other things that would align to the thing I didn't know existed, but I wanted, right? So I think that's why when JK rolled around for me, it was a no-brainer. You know, like nothing was promised. Didn't know how far I was going to get in it, but it was way more down, like up my alley than what I was currently doing.
But I also don't think your parents have it instilled in you.
It's exactly. That you that's have what to I was be saying. A
monkey that climbed the tree.
Of course, that's what I was saying. They didn't instill it in me, but there was definitely going to be some disowning, all this other shit.
I think the only thing that would be equivalent is, you know how your parents never wanted any of the kids to study out of state?
Yeah.
It would have been if you started your freshman year of college on the East Coast. That'd be the same equivalent. So imagine then your junior and senior year of high school mustering up the courage to let them know you got accepted and you already have your flight booked and you're going to study on the other side of America.
Yeah, I guess it just doesn't apply because if I wasn't a pussy and so sheltered, I didn't do that because I was scared.
Exactly. I'm scared too.
Not scared about them.
Yeah.
What they're going to think about me. I was over it. Like that didn't stop me from doing anything. I was just scared for my safety because I didn't know. I had never left my fucking front yard. But let's say I had a little bit more freedom. Oh, dude, for sure. You know, I'll deal with the consequences later. I'm out. You know, that's like when the opportunity for me to move out, which is against what, like I was going to be disowned. My mom was telling me like, your dad's going to yell at you. He's never going to, like, he's going to kick you out maybe right away. Like, you don't want to have this conversation. That I'm like, I just don't want to have this conversation. You know, so I can't really relate to what you're saying. That's why it blows my mind because you're such a, you're such a, like, I just see you as such a, like, an alpha person and a person that just is so focused and dedicated and driven and just so about what he wants that, like, to hear that you had this, like, fear of what your parents were going to think and how you couldn't muster, like, you needed courage to speak to them to get it done, then I'm like, what? It just blows my mind.
That's probably my biggest achievement to this date.
Damn.
Is getting my life back.
Damn, your life was fucked.
Because you got to imagine, like starting day one, TV is taped. You know, I've been to fucking monk camp. Like, I didn't have time. Weekends, I was doing homework or doing chores. Like, I couldn't really hang out that much. Like, I was on lockdown.
Yours is really bad.
I never listen to the radio.
Because I was locked down, but locked down with freedom inside my house.
Yeah, you could watch TV.
I could eat whatever I want, watch TV, talk on the phone. Like, I had freedom. I could eat
anything with artificial flavors. So no Capri Suns, none of that.
I had all that.
Can't watch TV.
I had cable.
Yeah, I can't even listen to the radio.
I had my own radio. Music
for the first time when I was in fifth grade.
Yeah, I had radio. My friend
bought a boombox over.
Mm. I had my own radio and my own room.
Yeah, I couldn't choose my clothes.
I
couldn't choose my haircut, you know, like all that stuff.
Yeah, yours is really bad.
And so, like, I never had my life, you know?
That's true.
And that's why in third grade, like, I wanted to commit suicide. I was like, what the fuck? I don't even like my life.
Damn.
I never had my life. I never made any choices.
Damn, that is a huge achievement.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how does one even think that they can achieve that? For sure. Like, you never saw anything else.
Yeah. So I was just like, okay, I constantly have to live this other track that someone told me to go on.
What was the thing where you were like, nah, it has to happen. Like, I have to just give it my all. Because you were under so much control that, like, yeah, how are you? Was it just a will?
No, it was more so being real with myself. Like, it wasn't like one big pivotal moment, but it was a gradual discovery of myself. So, like, when I started to realize, so at first, in college, I'm like, I loved shooting skits and stuff with Joe and our director, Danny, at the time. And I couldn't wait to do that. And I don't know how many all-nighters we pulled to shoot skits, because we would shoot them, get so excited, we'd want to edit immediately, so we'd edit until the morning. I don't know how many times we've done that, right? I compare that with pulling all-nighters to study. It's like day or night difference. And then so I'm like, interesting. Not even like an interesting, like, oh, I can articulate it, but it just feels like something feels very warm and welcoming. And the other one was like pulling teeth. Then I graduate and I'm like, damn, what am I supposed to do? Well, I got to study for MCATs and all that stuff anyways, but I was still doing skits and stuff on the side. And just like almost every step I took in this direction and this direction, this one just felt more and more honest. To the point where I was like, wait, this is, I think, really me. And it feels like I'm living the correct life. And it feels like this is a lie. So I think I couldn't lie to myself anymore.
That's good.
You know, and I felt like I had to go, hey, monkeys, you know what? Like, I'm not a monkey. I don't think I'm a monkey.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when you and I were friends and you were going... You were in this phase, and like, remember we would talk on AIM and shit as homies. You would talk about how one of your dreams was to like you really wanted to be a singer, and a lot of things like were just pointing, like you would take singing lessons, and like you were doing all of your hobbies were centered more around entertainment than they were in any type of medical field.
Yeah, like things that are technically non-productive. Like I was at UCLA. And then I was just taking singing lessons to add to nothing, but I just thought it was dope. It was fun because I've never been properly trained. I'm like, this would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember having conversations with you and feeling bad for you because I'm like, damn, like this guy is doing something. He's like, he's trying to appease his parents' like image of him.
Yeah.
Like I remember feeling it from you.
Yeah, living up to an image, living up to a monkey image that I'm not.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not your girlfriend, nor like were we tight like that, where I'd be like, yo, man, not ever. But it wasn't like, I didn't feel like it was my place to have. And I wasn't mature enough to like even articulate or even understand any of this stuff. But I just knew that I was just like, oh, man, his life seems like a bummer. Like when you would just do the medical stuff, because I'm like, that's not him at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. Okay, so then you kind of always just felt this like I don't belong with monkeys. I'm definitely something else. You see that. You're still trying to study, but you're doing the fun stuff on the side. And then at what point? Oh, is it the article you said? The article that started telling you who the top YouTubers were?
That was
were?
Like the first sign of feasibility.
Because you're like, you can make a living off of this.
Because, you know, in the Asian track, it's after college, you got to make money. Or you go more school. So I was like, oh, there is money here. So I can have a job. So I don't have to go more school if I can pursue it enough.
Yeah.
So that was like the first thing that was like, okay, maybe I could try it.
But at this point, you weren't even thinking about talking to them yet.
I did. And I knew the doomsday was coming up because I was going to graduate. So when I graduate, what do I do? Like there has to be an explanation why I'm not in medical school.
Got it.
Or taking more classes.
Yeah, what happened there? I don't remember that part because I was with you when you graduated, but I don't know, like my timeline is a little bit fucked up. I don't know if you were already doing, no, I think I was still probably working at the bank and you weren't full-time JK just yet.
No.
You took the summer off.
That summer?
Or no.
No, so I thought I graduated. Remember we walked and all that. And then I found out I was missing a class like before I could pick up my diploma.
Yeah.
So I spent that summer taking that one last random like GE history class.
And then was that around the time that you were like, oh no, I need to do JK full time or not yet?
That's the time I wanted to.
I see.
But it wasn't a business. So remember I sold my car, I had a blue truck. So I sold it to buy the Tahoe. So I had 10 G's. And remember I was waking up at like 4 a.m. every morning
to
learn stocks.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I had to, that's how much I wanted to be this fish. I'm like, my fish isn't affording my lifestyle. So what can I do on the side to make money so I could explore being this fish? You know, and is there enough things I could pull together to make it work so that I can fish full time?
Yeah. Okay. So you did that.
Yeah.
But you had to explain, like your parents were for sure curious as to why you're selling this truck. So I'm sure you had to have had a conversation there somewhere.
Yeah. I just told them that's what I want to do. I want to sell the truck and I want to use this money and start to learn about stocks. And I guess they were completely cool with it. They're like, well, that's fine. You know,
we understand stocks, so we're for it.
And they're like, well, you're an adult now, so you can, we bought you this truck, so you can do whatever you want with it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Not knowing that you weren't going to go back to med school. They thought you were still going to do that.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, they still thought I was going to go to med school and stuff.
And then who did you break it to first?
My mom, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, because I was closer with my mom at that time.
I see.
So I told her, and then I said, I want to try it. And then it's definitely not like a one conversation. It was probably like multiple conversations.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then different renditions of the same conversation.
Yeah, and I'm sure they had questions.
Yeah, and it took probably like a month, you know? And then both of my parents thought I was stupid.
Yeah,
like, why would you go halfway?
Yeah, of course.
You're halfway there. Why would you give up this? Why would you go to such a good school and all that?
Yeah.
Because I went to a good school because you wanted me to go to a good school, you know? So I had to do like that whole like explain to them like how my whole life haven't done what I wanted yet, just to let you know. And I had to explain all of that to finally them go fine just 1 year then.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. A year? If Tiger were to ask me for shit.
But it's crazy that I have to ask to live my life for a year. That's the crazy part.
It's not crazy. And I don't see it as crazy. Because they know that the burden's gonna fall back on them.
Well, for me, I'm like, no, for Taika, he could live whatever he wants. That's his life.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so I would agree if it doesn't involve me. Yeah, if you leave my house, I don't have to worry about you financially or you coming back and now like what's the word? Like now disrupting whatever new life I want to
have. That's exactly it.
But that's not true because weren't your parents like still giving you money?
No.
Oh, no more.
I already told them, like, I told them what my plan, like, you know how I am. Yeah. I'm a very calculated person.
Yeah.
So I told my mom, step number one, I go to med school. Step number two, I become a doctor or some sort of healthcare professional in the military. I'm already prior military. They're going to highly value who I am. Step number three, I'm going to be a police officer. Step number four, I'll go back and I'll be an officer in the Marine Corps because I already have a bachelor's. And I was a former Marine, and they'll take me, and then so you don't have to worry. So I have four things planned. You know what I mean?
Why do you do four like that? That's so hard. Why don't you just do it like that?
Because I was counting this way.
Oh, you started with your thumb?
Yeah.
I'm like, you ended so awkwardly. I would be like, 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh. 1, 3, 4. Man, you make your life so difficult.
So I had four things planned. Plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D. You know? Plan E, let me do try JK, try YouTube. So that's how I had, I was like, the first four plans doesn't require you. I'm going to have a full-time job. You don't have to worry about me at all. And then even then, it was still reluctancy. I'm like, what the fuck? How many more backup plans do you need from me? You know, because I'm not going to fall on your shoulders. I'm never going to be your burden. I'm a military. I'm prior military. And I have a bachelor's from UCLA. I'm like, I'm a fucking catch. I could apply to fucking Deloitte or fucking Goldman Sachs or anybody right now. I'll start from the bottom up and I'll be fucking six figures in like 3 years. No matter what I do.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a fucking catch.
Yeah, they missed that part.
Right? So yeah. I'm like, if I'm a fucking catch and I work hard, I'm like, what's the problem?
Right, right.
And then, but in Asians, it doesn't fucking matter. Logic, ration, doesn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't.
It's just like, all they hear is, oh, you don't want to be a monkey. Fuck the monkey, monkey town. You know?
I don't think they hear that. I think they hear, like, no, but what if it doesn't work out? Like, then he's going to suffer. Or
I'm like, but I got four motherfucking plans, playa.
I know, but they're just, they're scared people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. Damn. So then you tell her, and it was a lot of back and forth. And then after a month, they were like, it's cool?
This month, try it. And then now the year of me trying it is literally every single day. So are you done yet? Are you going to go back?
Like, what every day?
Literally every day. Every day. Even when, you know, the first big eye-opening moment is when, remember when JK got the office? I couldn't wait to bring my parents there because then it's like, oh, shit.
It's now official.
We got an office. They can see it with their own eyes. We got employees. They're like, holy shit, this is a company. And even till then, how long do you think this is going to last, though? Like, you know, it's like, it's constantly. Like, and then they'll see us shooting or do whatever. Like, see, if you're a dentist, you don't have to worry about that. Or if you're a chiropractor, you don't have to worry about that. Just constantly just throwing those things back in my face.
Yeah.
Like, all felt like a bunch of backhanded compliments. So even after I found some sort of traction and going against my parents, it was still constantly like, but are you sure you made the right move?
Yeah. So at what point were you like, oh, fuck, I did that shit?
At what point?
Because he eventually backed off.
I think when we started paying my mom allowance.
So then it just sounds like it was your mom that was a big issue. Because you didn't pay your dad.
Well, it's because I didn't think I owed my dad as much.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's coming from your mom more than
from
your
dad. From my mom and my dad. But
so where did your dad stop?
Well, the reason why I felt like I owed my mom is because for that first year for JK to take off, the reason why it took off is because my mom didn't charge us for rent, right? Yeah. So we got to run JK out of a rent-free place. We got to live there rent-free. So that was a huge help. Right. Even though it was only what, like, I don't know, $1,000 a month or something.
Yeah.
That's fucking huge when you have zero
money. Well, and she was giving us money too. Remember?
Was she?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but it's a huge thing to like.
She would give me money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, I don't remember that.
Yeah, she would.
Well, anyways, to not charge rent, to run JK out of there, I was like, oh shit, this is fucking awesome. So the minute that we could, I was like, I felt like I need to repay her back. So,
yeah.
But being able to give her allowance now was like, oh shit, the turns have tabled, you know?
The turns have tabled indeed.
Yeah.
Okay. And then this was how many years after that? Like maybe 2 or 3?
No way.
More? Less?
Yeah, way more.
So damn, for all of those years they were on your ass?
I was
ass?
Still getting it in the ear every fucking day. In the ear every fucking day. Yeah. Because the JK office was at the front house, remember? Then it went to the middle house. And then we finally got the office, so we don't need an office anymore, so we moved into the back house. When we moved into the back house, I would still kind of get it. And then it wasn't until
we moved to...
Probably moved to Alhambra, where we're like, okay, we support ourselves, and I support you, and we have a gym, and we have JK, for them to like finally like chill out on it a little bit. you know?
Damn.
Yeah.
That's so not that's what league.
I don't know. That's like I don't know, 7 years after I graduated, I was still getting an earful the whole time.
And they're like, you're 3 years away from being a full doctor, you stupid fuck.
Yeah, but that's not me. I'm not a monkey. So that to me is like, that's something I never thought I could break away from.
And after the 7 years, it was never brought up again, right? Because you were just fucking, you're driving your Porsche and you have this other car and you had your fucking big ass fucking houses and shit. And now you're like balling.
Yeah. Now it's fine. Now I make all the decisions and I school them why I make the decisions. And they go, okay, yes, I understand.
How does that feel?
Fucking awesome. Like, hey, bitch, this is why I'm gonna move to Vegas, motherfucker. Oh, good son. That's good. You know?
Does it ever blow your mind where I'm like, where you're just like, fuck, if I told little Bart that this is what he's going to turn out, he wouldn't believe me? Like that type of shit? Or you're like, nah, little Bart kind of always knew.
No. I think it would be mind blowing. Yeah. I think it's the same thing as like when you first time you like outgrow your parents. You're like, what? Like that. The first time I realized that my bandwidth and like CPU, my processing power is bigger than my parents. I was like, oh shit. I'm like, from this point on,
I wear the fucking big boy pants.
I tell you what's gonna happen and then you nod your head. Yeah. Damn. So like, you know, like I didn't have to get my parents' approval when we moved to Vegas or why I have to do anything, you know? Whereas my uncle, who still lives in that Asian track, who's 60, was still asking for approval for every single thing that he's doing. Like, hey, can I take my family? I'm going to take my family on a vacation to tour Yosemite. What do you think? Why would you want to spend all that kind of money? You know, that's like what my grandma would say. Even him at 50, 60 is under that fucking Asian thumb. Like the Asian thumb was strong. It's hard to like be able to talk to your parents like that. People are in their 60s and 70s still like under that Asian thumb.
I mean, it has its pros and its cons for sure, but damn, but you did it.
Yeah.
You fucking did it. And it's really dope that we've been able to like really stare at the ugliness and be like, okay, this shit is not working. We got to change it and have the working capacity to just fucking one foot in front of the other, lay one brick down and then the other brick and then the other brick. It's a lot of hard work.
Yeah. Just trying to be honest to who I am.
That's CUNY. You're a fish.
Yeah.
You should get a fish tattoo.
CUNY.
That is CUNY. Yeah. No, we've developed a lot. It's pretty rad to kind of like look back at it and be like, oh shit. It's kind of like when you, God, Mia farts so much. Like she's fucking glue on your dad's side. It's thick. It's like this thick, spicy fart. It's so nasty. But it's kind of like, you know, when you take your first picture day one of your diet and then like 3 months in, you're like, because like you see yourself every day and you don't really think of it much. You're like, man, this progress is so slow. But then when you do a side by side comparison, you're like, oh, shit, I've come a long way.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool to see it now to be like, damn, we've come a long way.
Yeah. It came from my TVs getting taped up.
To not having a TV in any fucking room.
Every single room. And I guess what? I can pull it off and tilt it. I got the tilt fucking
You even
brackets.
Have one on your fucking phone. Yeah. That's how many TVs. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. I listen to music whenever I want now, mom.
Fuck yeah, yeah. Mom.
Anytime I want. And I get the haircuts that I want.
Boom. Yeah. I get to wear whatever I want too.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go. I get to lead whoever I want to lead.
I get to eat meat.
Yeah, that one's rough. All right. Well, on that note, that was a good question. Thank you for asking that. Is there anything you want to discuss, add, shout out?
Always shout out the Barbell Brigades.
Hey,
always got new drops every single month this year. We got a lot of fire coming your way, so make sure you check that out. Apparel, we got some brand new supplements that we're working on that is delicious too. So go to barbellbrigade.com and check it all out. See you guys next time.
Bye.